If you turn in your Bibles again to Psalm 119 and to the very last verse of this lengthy psalm. It's a wonderful psalm that sets before us the wonders of God's word. Who wrote this psalm? That's the question. We're not told there at the beginning, as we are with some psalms. I think although King David is not mentioned as the author of this psalm, it most likely is his. Our old friend Charles Spurgeon, he agrees with many Bible commentators when he says, even if his name is concealed, the hand of David is in this thing. And I think he's right. Who am I to disagree with the great Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon? So we take David to be the author of the psalm. And in this psalm, what he's doing, he's reflecting on the wonder of God's word. And he looks at the psalm, at the word of God from different angles. And he gives us here the fruit of a lifetime's meditation. He does so, as many of you are probably aware, by using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet as an acrostic. In the original Hebrew, not only each stanza, but each verse in each stanza begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters. And each stanza extols the virtues of God's word. So I think we can say without any shadow of a doubt, here is a man who loves the word of God. Here is a man who values the word of God above everything else. Here is a renewed man. Here is a believer. Here is someone who's been saved by God's grace. Someone who knows the wonder and the joy of walking in God's ways. He knows how happy, how blessed are those who do so. In fact, he says so in the very first verse of this psalm. Turn back to the first verse, you'll see he says that, blessed are the undefiled in the way, he says. Well, who are these blessed people? Who are these happy people that he's talking about? They are those, he says, who walk in the law of the Lord. And at verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. The whole of this psalm, all 176 verses, set before us the glory and the virtues of God's word. So surely we are able to say, if ever there was a man of the word, it was David. David. Well, with that in mind, we may find it a little surprising to discover at the end of the psalm, David's last words, which we're going to look at this evening. His last words are this at verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I've gone astray, says David, like a lost sheep. And yet, undoubtedly, David was one of the Lord's sheep. It certainly wasn't Satan who gave him such a love for the word of God. And as we well know, he says in another well-known psalm, in Psalm 23 and at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yet although that was so, he wandered. He went astray like a lost sheep. We know, of course, that he went astray in his adultery with Bathsheba, and with the murder of her husband, Uriah the Hittite. He went astray also when he took a census of the people. And no doubt there are many other occasions when he went astray. The pathway of God's word he knew, and he knew it was the right way, but he never kept it perfectly. And as I say, as we look at the life of David, that becomes very clear. And he, too, was very much aware of this. I've gone astray, he says. I love your word, he says. I do not forget your commandments. But I've gone astray. He knew the right pathway, the pathway of God's word, but he never kept it perfectly. His feet strayed. And in that, David is a type of every true believer, of every sheep that Christ has ever brought into his fold. Remember that Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, he said of his sheep, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And again, you remember, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, with such a promise from such a shepherd, is it not amazing that any of his sheep should wander from him? But sad to say, like David, we all do. We were once lost sheep, if we're Christians. Now we are found sheep. But sad to say, we are often straying sheep. That's what David says here. David, you remember, is the man after God's own heart. David, the incomparable psalmist. David, who had such sublime and inspired thoughts of God. David, who, in spite of his love for God and his knowledge and his experience of God, who wrote this glorious psalm, as we've said, extolling the glory of God's word, yet can say at the end of that psalm, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And as I have said, David's confession is true of all who love the Lord and all who love his word. In spite of all we know of God, in spite of all our sincerest professions of faithfulness to God, despite all our professions of love to God and love for his word, despite all our resolutions to keep his word and not to fall into sin, yet we have failed. We have failed. And in that sense, we can all mirror the words of David here in this verse. We can take them for our own tonight. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We wander. We go astray. The hymn writer says, prone to wander. That's us. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It was true of David, and it's true of us. And that's why we give thanks to God, as we were thinking this morning again, that salvation is all of God's grace and God's mercy. The pathway to heaven is a hazardous one. And in that pathway, although the lost sheep is found, yet sadly at times it will stray. And time again, the good shepherd will have to come and restore his sheep. Spurgeon points out that sheep are not like dogs. He says, this isn't word for word, this is my interpretation. He says, if you lose a dog, if a dog gets lost, it will likely find its own way home. Sometimes they travel great distances, don't they, to do so. By the way, I've got nothing against cats. I know that they can do this as well. But when a sheep strays, it doesn't make for home. It tends to wander further and further away from the shepherd. There's a greener bit of grass over there, and it goes further and further away. And it's why David says here in this verse to the Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Seek your servant. I think David is probably thinking of his own shepherding days and of the great efforts that he would go to in seeking wandering sheep. And how he prays to the great shepherd, seek your servant. Come after me, Lord. Don't leave me to wander even further away from you. Meet me just where I am and restore me. Restore me. Sheep often don't know they're lost until they, having wandered, fall into great difficulties, become ensnared in a briar or fall into a ravine. And you know, often it's true of the Lord's people. They do not realize how far they wandered from the Lord and from hearing his voice and obeying his word until they're faced by some imminent danger, some great trouble that they find themselves in. And then we realize how far we've wandered. We gradually wander away from God. We drift away. We drift away. To use another illustration, it's rather like those airbeds that they pump up at the seaside, you know, and you find quite often, don't you, that people, they're in the shallows and they lounge on the sunbed or whatever it is. They're just in the sea, fall asleep, and when they wake up, they're right out in the ocean in deep trouble. The tide has carried them out. And we gradually, as it were, imperceptibly wander away from God. We can detect it if we have a mind to. We become more spasmodic in our reading of God's word. We become more spasmodic in our prayer life, in our prayers. We keep up the outward form of godliness. We still perhaps come to church and all appears to be well. But in reality, we're far from God. Far from where we should be. We drift away until one day we awake to find ourselves far, far, far away. How shall we be restored? How may you be restored if this is true of you this evening? Well, there are some things in this verse which I believe point us to the way of restoration. The first is very obvious. We need to acknowledge our situation. We need to own up to the fact that we have wandered. While we boast like the Laodicean church, you'll remember in Revelation 3, that the Lord looked upon, who were saying they were rich and wealthy and had need of nothing. While we put on a brave face and say to people, I'm fine, you know, when you ask them how they are spiritually, all's well. While we know in our hearts that isn't the truth, then we will remain in our backslidden condition. We must acknowledge that we've strayed like lost sheep. We must acknowledge, as we've been thinking in Philippians on Thursday evenings, that we're no longer pressing towards the mark like the Apostle Paul. We've left our first love. And we must acknowledge that we've lost our way. That we're in a blind alley, possibly. We're bogged down in a slough in the mire of unbelief. There must be no attempt to hide any of these things from God concerning our true spiritual condition. It's absolute folly to try and hide anything anyway, because God knows. He knows. He knows all things. I've gone astray, says David. So here's David, a mature believer, not a young, inexperienced Christian, but a mature believer. And he says to the Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And if you would be restored, if you wandered from God, you must be honest with God. You must tell him. You must tell him you've lost your way spiritually, because that is the first step towards recovery. And then secondly, I'd have you notice in this verse that David, while admitting he has wandered, that he's gone astray, you notice he still calls himself God's servant. He says, seek your servant. Seek your servant. What's he doing here? He's reminding the Lord of the fact that though he's a wandering sheep, he is still a sheep of God's fold. He's one of his fold. He's one who's within God's covenant of grace. He's one, therefore, whom Christ has promised to keep. and promised to bring to glory. He's one for whom the Good Shepherd has shed his lifeblood to save. Taking all that into account, it's a certainty then that the Great Shepherd will seek his own sheep. Just as David had sought lost sheep when he was a shepherd. Just as those sheep were very precious to him. His most precious possession. They were for shepherds at that time. It was their very livelihood, their life. And just as he had heard the bleating of the lost lamb, so he knows the Good Shepherd will hear him. God in his grace and mercy will rescue him. And we need that confidence when we're lost, when we've wandered. We need that confidence that God will hear and God will answer. You see, while it's conceivable that an earthly shepherd, for any number of reasons, may not seek a lost sheep, it is inconceivable that the Good Shepherd will not find and rescue his wandering sheep. He's covenanted to save them. Didn't the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ say this about his sheep? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And didn't he also pray in John 17, in that great high priestly prayer to his Father, I will that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So we can be sure he will hear the prayer of his people when they pray with David, seek your servant. Seek your servant. Are you calling upon the Lord to seek you? Are you praying, Lord, find me? Lord, show me just where I am spiritually. Reveal my need. Reveal to me where I'm straying. Show me the sin in my life which is causing me to wander and bringing a cloud between myself and you. That's the part of the pathway to restoration. And then thirdly, David speaks of his longing to be back home in the fold. And by being back home in the fold, I mean being back in the center of God's will. Because he says, I do not forget your commandments. At present, he's unhappy. He's not satisfied. He's not satisfied with continuing as he is outside of the pathway of God's commandments. And he says to the Lord, I do not forget your commandments. And my desire is to be restored to walking in them. Restored again to that way of peace and that way of blessing. That's a strong argument, you know. It's a forcible argument to make. Can we imagine for a moment that our God and Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, will not hear and answer the cry of his people who long to be restored to walking in the pathway of righteousness? To be restored to communion and fellowship with himself. It's impossible. If we had forgotten him, if we had no desire to remember his commandments, his word, then he may well allow us to wander until we see the value of his commandments again, of living to his glory again. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, says God's word. And he'll do that. But where there's repentance, where there's a desire, as here with David, to be walking with God, to be back within the fold, then surely, certainly, God will hear such a prayer. God is a gracious God, long-suffering, full of mercy. And if the desire of our hearts is to be restored and to walk in his ways, he will not leave us to wander further. Indeed, if we look a bit more deeply into this, it's the Lord himself who puts the desire in our hearts to be restored to him. My sheep hear my voice, said Jesus, and I know them, and they follow me. Straying sheep will not stray forever away from their shepherd. They begin to bleat. They begin to call for him. And he calls them back through his word by the Holy Spirit to himself. David had strayed from the shepherd, strayed from God's will for his life. Seek me, he says. Restore me to a purposeful and an obedient walk with you. We all stray, as I said earlier, but God in his grace does not let his people go. From day to day, if we're walking with God, we will find ourselves being cast back on God's grace. And like David here, so have we been in that position. David sought the Lord then. He acknowledged his position. He's quite open. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He pleaded his position as God's servant, and he expresses his heartfelt desire to walk in the way of God's commandments. And I've no doubt, having done so, he would have waited on God. I waited patiently for the Lord, he says in another psalm, doesn't he? Psalm 40. He waited for God to speak to his soul through his word and to hear that word of restoration and forgiveness again. And we need to hear it many times as we go through life. Your sins, which are many, are all forgiven you. And it's not just when we come to Christ, it's throughout our lives. They're all forgiven us. We're thinking this morning, weren't we, in Paul's letter to the Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, says the apostle. And how we thank God for that abounding grace. How David would have done so all those many, many years ago. Of course, he, like all true believers, would sooner not have strayed. He would sooner not have wandered from the Lord his God in the first place. But stray he did. And stray we do as well. I want to just consider for a few moments from this psalm different ways in which David and we may stray. Very briefly. There are many more than those I'm going to give you, by the way. At verse 169, David prays, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." And there's a sense in which that prayer undergirds everything else. What is David doing here? He's calling for God to give him spiritual light, to give him fresh understanding of his word. And that's something every believer needs. Fresh grace. When they hoarded up the manna in the wilderness, you remember what happened to it? It began to stink. We need fresh grace. We need to hear God speak to us daily. We need to have our hearts and our minds informed by God's word. And that's what David is praying here. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Show me how to live. Show me where I'm going wrong. And the danger is, if we do not seek to be led daily by God's word, the result is we will soon be following not the good shepherd at all. We'll be following the desires of our own hearts. And we'll make decisions and we'll take actions not based on the word of God, but on our own foolish inclination. And God may grant us our request. He does it, of course, to show us our folly. He granted the request, didn't he, of his rebellious children in the wilderness. And what it says in Psalm 106 and verses 14 and 15. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, it says, and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request. But he sent leanness to their souls. He sent leanness to their souls. If we don't want to know leanness in our souls, then we need to cry to God like David, give me understanding according to your word. Don't let me wander. Direct my steps by your word, not my own foolish inclinations. And there's also the danger, of course, of straying into worldliness, to having a worldly spirit. Look at what David says at verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, he says. That's his great desire. David's desire, his overriding aim in life, is to praise God and to worship God. He says here, let my soul live, and I shall praise you. You know, I think today often as believers, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone, but it's so easy for worldliness to creep into our lives. Covetousness, the desire to have and find fulfillment in the things of this world rather than God. And what it does, it chokes praise. It draws us away from God. It's why Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. He also said, didn't he, the cares of this world, you remember, in the parable of the sower, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, what do? They choke the word, he says. And he, the person who's taken up with those things, becomes unfruitful. David didn't want to be unfruitful. I'm sure none of us want to be unfruitful in the Lord's service. He didn't want to wander into worldliness. He wanted to live to God's praise. So let's take heed of our Saviour's word, the Good Shepherd's word, to take heed and beware of covetousness. And let's make it our great aim to find our joy, to find our peace in God. And let's hunger and thirst, not for the things of this world, but for righteousness. Let's seek those things above, as the scripture says, where Christ is. Is there, I wonder, in our lives a declining interest in God's word? We can find out quite easily, can't we? Is there a cutting back, perhaps, on our devotional time? We find, well, there's so many other things that we have to think about and do, and the word of God is put to one side. That's a sure sign of spiritual decline. And it's a reason to pray to the Lord. I've gone astray. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I wonder whether we see, as I say, it's all too often the case, I think, today with many of us. I wonder if we really see that a preoccupation with the things of this world, rather than a desire to seek those things which are above, do we see that as a sure sign of spiritual decline, of wandering from God's word? And the need to cry out like David here, because it most surely is. We're prone to wander, as the hymn writer says. We're all going to be tempted in various ways as we go through life. We're going to be tempted to find joy and peace and pleasure and fulfillment outside of God and his word. Outside of his word. But there's no lasting joy or pleasure, or peace outside of God. He's the fount of all goodness. And David knew that. David knew that. And it's why he cries out here in this final verse, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Just in closing, what place do God's commandments, what place does God's word hold in your heart this evening? That's a true indicator of your spiritual state. Are we those who have felt the power of that word? Have we known and have we experienced God's grace and mercy in Christ in our lives? We can't deny it. But then, do we also know that we wandered? And that we're like lost sheep when we should be living as God's servants. Seek your servant, prays David. Seek your servant. Find me, keep me. And in your wonderful grace, restore me, bring me home. In other words, keep me on the King's highway. Keep me on that road that leads to life everlasting. Keep me faithful to your word. There's a great thing here with David. David had wandered, but he had not abandoned God's way. He hadn't abandoned God's way. He hadn't turned his back on God. Never do that, dear friend. Never do that. Keep looking to Jesus. God is faithful. And his delight is to restore the lost sheep, to save those who are lost, and to continually restore those who he has saved, who wandered from him. May we all know afresh this evening his abounding grace and love and mercy. We're going to sing our closing hymn. It's not one we sing often. I don't think I've ever sang it before here, but that might be my memory. It's the hymn 620. Another great hymn of Charles Wesley, 620, Thou Shepherd of Israel and mine, the joy and desire of my heart, for closer communion I pine. I long to reside where thou art, the pasture I languish to find, where all who their shepherd obey are fed on thy bosom reclined and screened from the heat of the day. The words might be a little bit antiquated, but the sentiments are great. 620.